The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVD Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 386. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, I'm back from vacation, and I had a very nice trip to Rhode Island to visit friends and family, and, no major problems in traveling by air. So overall, it was a great vacation, but I'm very, very happy to be back here on the airwaves entertaining you all with a new episode of the PVD Cast. Now, this episode highlights my trip to Space, which is the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, which took place about 3 weeks ago in Columbus. And many longtime listeners know every year I go to this independent comic book show. And I love it. I go as a fan. I've gone there as an exhibitor. This year, I was there helping out good friend of the show, Brian Lau. He had come down from Michigan, and so I helped him out at his table. And we had a good time. It was a fun 2 days, and I got to talk to quite a few talented creators who were at the show. But unfortunately, technology issues have reared their ugly head one more time. And I have lost a couple of the conversations that I recorded. Somehow the files got corrupted again. I apologize for that and for the folks that obviously are not going to make this episode. I have absolutely focused in on finding the problem, and I did find it. There was a setting on my recorder that was not initiated, and so I fixed it, and I think I will have no further issues from here on out. But with that, I'm going to list those folks that you are going to hear my conversations with. You'll hear me talk with Levi Lambright, Jordan Kieran, Duncan Brike, Julio Guerra, and Caleb Troussant. All of those individuals took some time out of their very busy schedule over Space to sit down and chat with me. And so I do appreciate them doing that. I'm going to thank my great sponsors real quick and then throw it to a break. And of course, when I talk about my great sponsor, there's only one. And that is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They stand on top of the mountain in the world of comic book stores. That's right. Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics have a superior store that you need to check out. They've got everything you need for your fandom, whether it's single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. And so, if you're in Central Ohio, you have to. There's no two ways about it. You have to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're outside the area, or maybe you're a little bit lazy, you don't want to leave the house, I understand. I understand. Sometimes it's hot out there. Sometimes we have this hazy weather that we've been having over the last couple days. I understand. You don't want to leave the comfort of your own home. Got it. You can still check out the store. They have a great website, wgcomics.com. And they're very active on their Facebook page, so check out at WG Comics. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my many conversations from space. Okay. It is the first day of space. It is June 10th, and Brian Lau is joining me here to... Must you really?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Make
I'm sorry,
bubbles? And you, yes. Those bubbles were Brian Lau bubbling up his coffee. So, how you doing, Brian?
We need sound effects, man. So I was just trying to give you sound effects while you
Thank
talking.
You. There
space,
you go.
I was like,
oh,
space.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
That's what space sounds like.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been to space.
That's science.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm having fun. I mean, the show's not like crazy busy, but it's some great people. And man, I'm meeting some great...
some cool people, man.
Networking
cool
with
people.
Some
That's
really
right.
cool artists. You get some really awesome, interesting artists people.
Yeah.
This guy's got a book about freaking cornhole.
That's right. That's right.
Whose does that?
It's original. Man. Yeah. He's got the corner market on that, you know?
Uh-huh.
So what do we got here? We got, of course, Staunch Ambition, four individual issues plus the preview issue. And, of course, you got the trade paperback and the graphic novel.
It's kind of like six issues because issue four
right,
is double
true.
Size.
That's
and
true.
And then you have the preview issue.
That's true.
And then the trade is all of them.
And you, just a little bit ago, had somebody stop back to pick up issue four that they bought issue one and two like a bazillion years
Five
ago.
5 years ago. He had issue two in his backpack still. I think
yeah.
He was like carrying it around. It looked pretty bad. I almost felt like giving him a
Well,
new
it was a little beat up, but you know, you'll have that.
You could barely read it still, I think.
Well, I don't know, but that we didn't inspect it that well.
The edges were all worn. If I become rich and famous and die... That's not going to be worth any money, that book. It was
You don't know that. You don't know that that wouldn't be worth money if you hit it big. That's
well,
speculative.
I guess it would be worth money, but not as much as it had its edges.
But that was cool. I know you enjoyed that he stopped by to pick up issue four. Because
it's humbling.
Because he got three through this Kickstarter.
Yes.
And he followed you on social media. He saw you were going to be here. He stopped over to get issue four.
Very humbling. Yeah, and I don't sell a lot of the single issues anymore now that I have the season one trade. Most people just go for the whole thing. Sometimes I'll get a sell an issue one, and you're like, I'll try it out. But he's like, I want to continue and just get issue four. So he was excited.
That was cool. That's so far, I think, has been the highlight here today so
and
far.
And we got Inferno City Firehouse, which has never premiered at Space
Oh,
yet.
That's true. Oh, my goodness.
That's why another reason I was like, I should do this show again.
That's right. That's true, because it came out right before, 2019, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
And then we haven't had space for a couple of years, and you didn't come down last year, so yeah, that just dawned on me. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I got to say, so far we're off to a great start. Looking forward to today, tomorrow. If you're listening to this, I'm sorry that, you know, the space is come and gone for this year.
Yeah, you're going to have to travel back in time.
Well... Right, or just wait till next year and circle it on your calendar. That's what I was going to do, but what are you doing? Why are you pulling out? Oh.
Travel back in time is better. Like, they should show up right now if they're traveling back in time and say hi to us.
Well, listen, folks, if you have a DeLorean or a British police box and you are traveling back in time, stop by space and say hello to us. That's why I gave you the date, June 10th, 2023. So if you're traveling...
Yeah, if people could travel in time, we would know because they would already said hi. That's my theory.
That's your... Okay. Well, with that, we'll check back in and see how things are going a little bit later on.
Yeah. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah.
You're going to be hanging with Candair Jeremy tonight.
That's right.
Possibly Jason from...
Three Geeks Podcast.
Two Geeks Podcast.
No, it's three.
Three and a Half Geeks Podcast?
No, that's a TV show, Two and a Half Men.
One Plus One Geeks Podcast, I think is what...
Two Broke Girls Podcast. Anyways.
Broke Guys Podcast?
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll check back in a little bit. I'm sitting down, ladies and gentlemen, with Levi Lambright. And Levi, you are kind of new to the game, right?
Yeah, I just got into the comic book industry probably in the last... 2-3 years. I started towards the tail end of COVID. That's kind of like what propelled me to start exploring more hobbies, and then this has just kind of taken off as hopefully a new business venture or lifestyle venture. It's become way more than just a hobby now. It's like what I'm fully invested in all of my free time into. So
gotcha. And let's talk about the project. It is called The Legends of the Hole. Can you give a quick summary?
Yeah, so the story follows two best friends who their fathers were actually like these legendary cornhole players. But as far as they knew, they were just, you know, cornhole enthusiasts. Not to spoil too much, but their fathers end up getting mysteriously murdered. And so now they're kind of trying to follow in their footsteps and enter the cornhole tournaments that they were in. and trying to find answers and clues to why they may have been murdered by people associated with the cornhole kind of leagues or industry.
So you have a connection, though, because you are an avid cornhole player, correct?
Well, it's sort of, yeah. I mean, I play every summer at any chance I get, but for the past, like, 5 years, me and my buddy, we've been in a local cornhole league, and I will say it has been a huge influence as far as, you know, coming up with different characters and personalities, because in a cornhole rec league, you are going to get the widest variations of people. So it's definitely helpful for getting some inspiration, but it's also, yeah, it's just a fun hobby to have.
What got you started in comics? Like, what event? Was it that you read your first comic, or you were just doodling in an art class, or what?
I've always kind of delved in cartoons, cartooning in some type of way in school. I just majored in fine arts, but I never really got like a foothold on exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I thought it was doing animation, and I did that for a long time. And it's just such a tough industry to crack into, and also just really time consuming to get a story out. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of got the idea in my head of trying to come up with a format or find a format that worked best for getting out a larger amount of stories.
Okay.
And so I got drawn to comic books.
Okay. All right. Give me your POV, your point of view on your very first convention. How's it been?
It's been pretty good. I mean, it's been a little slow at times just because I think there's some other conventions going on at the same time in the area. And we had talked earlier about there being some movement of where the convention was scheduled originally, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. where it's been in the past. So that might have hurt attendance in some ways, but it's been good just like being able to, you know, link up with other creators, mm-hmm. and get so much advice that I'm searching on the internet for hours and hours and hours, and I get way more information from just talking to somebody for 10 minutes.
Absolutely. And that's awesome too, that there's so many people here who are willing to do that, that it's not seen as, oh, I'm not helping the new guy because he's competition. Like, I feel like this community here that's in that main room are absolutely 100% willing to help some folks out.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I mean, almost, I would say like 5 out of 10 booths, if you go 5 out of 10 booths, you would see an anthology comic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an accumulation of all these different artists working together. And I think that's just kind of like a microcosm for the comics community. Everyone's mm-hmm. so open and willing to give information and exchange it, and even exchange story ideas and stuff like that. So I was personally intimidated just because I'm like new to the industry.
Yeah.
But just being here just kind of opened my eyes and seeing that like everyone's super welcoming, and it's not a community to be intimidated by at all. Like all different art levels, all different, you know, professions, either they're professionals in the industry or they're hobbyists, whatever it is, everyone has a different perspective that I definitely am glad to hear from.
Okay, why is cornhole so popular in your opinion?
The Midwest, I mean, there's not much to do.
I'm sorry, the Midwest, and I just thought, oh, yeah, well, that says it all, but okay, go ahead.
A quick summary is, you know, people prioritize, you know, hanging out with people, having a good time, listening to music, hanging out in their yard or their lawn, and, of course, doing a little bit of, you know, alcoholic beverages on the side, too. So, and then cornhole's just always right there. Everyone has a cornhole board, so... You know, just being a Midwesterner, I was like, okay, I need to find my audience, you know, people that I can relate to. And cornhole just seemed to be that through line. So, and also cornhole just, it was something different.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Everyone's doing, you know, not everyone, but so many superhero comics, so many high school dramas and stuff like that. I just wanted to do something different, something that was just... kind of could be seen as its own lane. Obviously, it's going to take influences from popular stuff, but mm-hmm. just to do something different and also a challenge, I kind of took it as like, okay, here's something that's not a very interesting, exciting sport, and it was just a challenge for me to try and push my art as far as I could to make it an interesting and exciting sport. So,
all right, let's wrap things up with website, social medias, other conventions you're going to be at, et cetera, et cetera.
So far, I'm just signed up to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo in September, September 22nd through 24th. But I'm trying to get into some more shows. Being here, I've been able to learn about some upcoming conventions and stuff. So hopefully I'll be at more. But right now you can catch me on Instagram at Legends of the Hole. And then I'm also on Facebook at Legends of the Hole. My website is actually malikpremium.com. Before this, I own a headwear business.
Okay.
And so that's kind of like where my... that's all my stuff is on, okay, where my headwear is.
I get you. Okay.
And there's some integration into the books where one of my characters is Malik and wearing one of my hats. So okay, a little cross promotion.
You know what? That's something unusual because I don't think I've seen hats as, because you have some on your table, mm-hmm, for sale. I don't think that I've seen that in the many, many years I've been to cons as both a fan and working the cons.
Yeah, it's something I thought would be an easy integration. Yeah. I had the hats made, and Malik was already a thing, and so I was like, okay, I don't want to create more websites to pay for.
Right.
So, yeah. Being able to cross promote and also just have them on one platform together, and kind of have one cohesive thing, was kind of an advantage to it. So, yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully people like it. So.
All right. Levi, thanks, man, for sitting down for a few minutes and chatting with me.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, man.
All right. It's time to talk to another great creator here at Space. I am joined by Jordan Carrion.
That's right.
And Jordan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's the show treating you?
It's pretty good. This is actually the first year I've been back for 3 years. 2 years it was canceled for COVID, and then 1 year I got COVID the day before the show.
Oh, what a kick in the balls.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. I woke up with a fever and I knew in my gut that I had COVID. I tested and I was positive and I had to cancel.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let's talk about a couple of the projects that you have, okay, here at the table. Let's start off with Gordy real quick. Okay. Because it is, I want to say it's kind of a little bit of a throwback to some of those other older comic strips that we would see growing up as a kid.
Yeah, definitely. Gordy is just a gag strip that is about a duck who lives in the human world, and it was definitely influenced by the stuff like Calvin and Hobbes, Garfield a little bit, because I read Garfield a lot as a kid, Far Side, all the classic stuff that you think of, Doonesbury, Bloom County, it's all inspired by newspaper comics, so it does have that throwback feel to it, especially for a webcomic, I think.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Normal, Ohio.
All right.
Night of the Slug. This is a partnership with Aaron Lindeman, and let's talk a little bit about it. What's the tale regarding this particular project?
So this is a chapter book that I wrote for about a kid's 7 to 12, basically. It's my love letter to Goosebumps, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place in the town of Normal, Ohio, which is fictional, to my knowledge. I've looked it up, and I guess there was a TV show called Normal, Ohio that I didn't know about, so don't sue me. So it's a town called Normal, but that's where all the weird things happen. So Normal, Ohio, Night of the Slug is the first in a planned series of books called Normal, Ohio. Each one will have a different monster. This one is obviously about a giant slug.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Poetic Justice. And it has Shakespeare on the cover, so I have to ask, are you a fan of Shakespeare?
I like Shakespeare. I don't know that I'm a huge fan because I was made to take a Shakespeare class in college, I was kind of like...
That's a killer right there.
Yeah.
We were forced to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the stuff is really... I like his comedies a lot. Some of his more famous stuff, I'm like, okay. You know, I was an English major, so I'm like, okay, I get it, Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. But I had to put Shakespeare on there because that's a book of poetry. And my friend Doug wrote the poetry, and I drew the pictures. And we were just riffing off names for the book, and he said something about Poetic Justice. And I said, Doug, that's the perfect name, Poetic Justice. It's about superheroes. It's poetry. It's all in one. We got to do it.
And hence the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history.
Well, I like the pun for this project here, Drawing Unemployment. Jordan, have you been unemployed recently?
Not since the COVID thing started. I did get laid off at COVID, which was actually, you know, not a bad time because it let me do a lot of creative stuff. But so Drawing Unemployment is my friend Doug again. He wrote all these puns about a guy who loses every job that he has. And so he gets fired from X for Y and Z. And so I said, let's illustrate that. And so I just drew each joke I drew out. And so each panel is a different joke, or each strip is a different joke.
Can you give us an example? I know you gave us kind of one there just a moment ago, getting fired for X, Y, and Z, but you got one more?
Let's find a good one. I think the first one's a really good one. So the first one in the book is, I lost my job at the vegetable factory. And my character says, what happened? And he says, I couldn't produce. So they're all like that. He thinks of these jokes at work, and then he'll write them down, and I'll illustrate them. So it's a good partnership.
I was going to say, it sounds like he's holding up his end of the deal really well there.
Definitely.
Let's talk about Detective Dandy magazine.
Okay. Detective Dandy is a series of short stories. It's actually prose that I write. Each one is a different short story about a different monster. It's very X-Files themed. It's really influenced by X-Files and Kojak the Night Stalker, if you know that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge fan of that show. So each short story, Detective Dandy has to solve a mystery that involves a monster. So the best one, in my opinion, in there is called Werewolf Dinner Party. And it's about a guy who throws a dinner party for all his friends because he thinks one of his friends is a werewolf. And Detective Dandy has to solve who the werewolf is before he turns into a werewolf. He or she turns into a werewolf.
Okay, cool. So where did you get the inspiration for all of your books? I mean, we've covered Gordy a little bit, so let me rephrase that. With these books like Poetic Justice, Drawing Unemployment, Detective Dandy, where did you get the inspiration for those?
Well, a lot of the time it's whatever I am interested in at that moment. So, like, I was kind of studying Goosebumps because I work at a library, so I have access to like a ton of Goosebumps.
Okay.
And I was kind of studying them, and I thought, oh, this would be a really fun project if I were to write something for kids and something kind of creepy that would, you know, and Night of the Slug specifically I wrote for my niece because I wanted her to read more. So she's getting to the age where she's starting to read by herself. So that was the inspiration for that. Everything else is just kind of like, what am I interested in at the moment? And I'm almost always interested in monsters and scary things, but I'm also really into comedy. So with the Drawing Unemployment, it was just a matter of like, oh, you're telling jokes. I love jokes. Let me draw them.
Okay, cool. You have a website, social media, where folks can keep tabs on you?
Yeah, so my website is hotcakescomicsplus.com, where I keep my comics and my short stories. The best place to reach me on social media is for my Gordy handle, though, so Gordy Comic on all social medias, because I update those more frequently than my hotcakes, because Gordy releases Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so I tend to have more content for that.
Any upcoming appearances or conventions you're going to be at?
Yeah, so actually, I do throw a convention in Marysville for the library.
Okay.
And so that'll be my next convention, and that is August 26th.
Okay.
So feel free to come out.
There you go. Definitely. Well, Jordan, thanks for taking a few moments out of your time to sit down and chat with me, man.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am talking to maybe the youngest artist here at Space, Duncan Bryke. Duncan, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
So this is your very first comic book convention ever, correct?
Yeah.
How's it been so far?
It's been pretty good so far. I wasn't really sure what I was expecting, but I mean, all the vendors here are really nice, and it's really cool to meet other people who are also very passionate about making comics.
Well, let's talk about, you know, you're 18 years old. When did you start making your own comics?
So that's kind of an interesting question. I was exposed to comics a lot when I was younger, so I wouldn't say there's necessarily a super clean, like, this is when it happened, this is when I decided to get into it. The book I'm here selling now, Archives, is my first, like, serious graphic novel, and I started that the summer before my junior year of high school. So I've had a few, like, less professional projects before that, but this is, like, my first, like, serious effort.
What made you decide that you're going to do a serious, you know, I'm doing this 110%, no, you know, right here, right now? What made you decide to do that?
Honestly, I just sort of started and didn't stop. So it was something where I had the idea for the story, and I really wanted to see it executed in the form of a graphic novel. And so I just sort of decided to begin it, and then I just sort of didn't give up. And eventually, you know, if you just keep working at it, I mean, eventually I finished it.
Okay. So let the listeners know, if they pick up Archives, Duncan, what... it's the basic summary of the book without giving away, you know, any important parts.
So Archives is it's mostly wordless, and it's basically set in a future version of New York City that's like completely abandoned except for the main character, a maintenance robot named Three. And basically, it's very based in the mood of the story, so it's kind of hard to describe in words. But basically, the story is about, you know, Three gradually having adventures and his awareness being expanded and him realizing that there's more to the world than he's really seen of it.
Okay.
And so it's sort of the story is about his personal growth.
Okay. What's next on the agenda?
So I'm writing a short comic this summer that I want to finish. And then in the fall, I'm going to be a freshman in college, and so I'm going to be going into the comics and narrative practice major at the Columbus College of Art and Design. So okay. I'm looking forward to seeing how my work develops.
Cool. Well, let's let the listeners know, where can they find your project, like website, social media, stuff like that?
So I don't really have a website lined up. But I will be at the Youngstown Comic Con July 8th and 9th. That's my next show. And, I also have an email address associated with the book.
Okay.
archivesrobot3@gmail.com.
Okay, so if fans want to get a copy of the book, or they have questions for you or whatnot, just shoot you an email and you'll be happy to get back to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Duncan, thanks, man. It's been an awesome.
My pleasure.
All right, thanks.
It's been mentioned many times on the PVD cast that I have yet another project in the works. That project is the Larry Hankin Stories, a Patreon page that contains tons of cool content about everyone's favorite actor, Larry Hankin. Larry just released his autobiography, That Guy, and is offering a huge deal for his fans. You can get a 25% discount if you buy the book through Bear Manor Media. Just plug in the code THATCODE4, THATCODE, the number 4, and you can get 25% off your purchase of the book. Just go to bearmanor-digital.myshopify.com to access their catalog of great books, put in that code, and you will get 25% off. But hurry, because this offer only lasts until midnight on July 4th, 2023. And also, don't forget to check out the Patreon page. It's over at patreon.com/LarryHankin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need to interrupt this episode for just one quick acknowledgement. And that is, of course, I'd like to acknowledge my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. If you need a great comic book store, then look no further at World's Greatest Comics. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system, a friendly staff. They got everything covered for your fandom. So check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. You can follow them on Facebook at WG Comics, or better yet, if you're in the area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Folks, I'm standing here talking to another great creator here at Space. Standing here with Julio. Julio, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm good.
So you have a ton of things to talk about here. I'm at the table, and to the left is like this giant rack of comics. So let's start off first with Botched, because I want to talk wrestling first.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about those other projects. So tell the listeners what's Botched all about.
So Botch is about an independent wrestler who wrestles one of the guys who used to be great at one point and has to wrestle in a gymnasium. And one of the moves goes terribly wrong. The indie star gets his neck broken during the ring or during the match. And then he has to wrestle death in purgatory to find out if he lives or dies.
Wow. Okay. That's not where I thought the tale was going. I got to be honest with you. I was thinking this was going a whole different avenue. What inspired you to say, okay, it's not just like he broke his neck and then there's going to be angst or heat between those two, but we're going to add in the supernatural, like, theologic type of deal to it?
Well, we thought, like, there's already a bunch of wrestling comics out.
Sure, yeah.
And that's a lot of it is, like, the, I don't want to say typical wrestling thing is, like, heel versus face and the heat and whatnot. So we wanted to do something a little bit different, bring a whole different avenue, because it is different for those guys when they're in the middle of that and they feel that shock. Like, what happens in those, what seems to us like seconds could be, like, light years for them, or not light years, more like months or hours for them. What are they internally fighting with? And we're like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Let's see if we can spin this a different route and you know, see what happens with it.
How's the feedback been for Botched? Have fans like, oh, this is awesome, and they appreciate it? Or, like, I'm assuming that that's the case, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, it has been it's done very well. It was actually a comic of the week for one of the Chicago shops, too, when it was out there.
Cool. Cool. So tell us a little bit about Deathbag.
Oh, Deathbag. So, yeah, that's just an Adult Swim style, all ages, dark humor comic. It's basically the Grim Reaper dealing with everyday human life. So, like, standing in line at the merch stand at a concert, being stuck in traffic, you know, not wanting to go into the mosh pit and not, you know, want to be on the floor of the concert, not want to deal with the pits and stuff like that. So that's what he deals with.
Okay. Okay. How about, is it pronounced Kanisha?
Kanisha.
Kanisha.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about that one.
So that one's more of a slice of life book. There was a period of time where it was like defund the police and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And young people, especially of minorities, being murdered and covered ups and stuff like that. So the writer, who's from Gary, Indiana, this was happening a lot around him, and he wanted to bring it more to light. And subject he's dealing with, especially since he works with youth and stuff like that. So it's basically a young girl whose brother is murdered, and she has a pacifist father and a radical uncle, and she's torn between the two. And of course, like with anything, you know, we feel anger and we want the revenge, and then on the other side we understand what's going on. Just a bunch of emotions as humans when stuff like that happens. So that's basically that tale.
All right, let's go for Tales from the Cryptic Closet.
Okay, Tales from the Cryptic Closet is a love story to those old traditional EC books, Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Terror, stuff like that. So it's a horror anthology from a bunch of walks of life who are creators from Northwest Indiana, Chicago, Midwest area. We do feature some wrestlers on there.
Oh, okay.
So issue 1 and 2, for those who know them from the indie circuit, Killer Cross or WWE's Karrion Kross.
Okay.
And issue 3 features Danhausen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we do have some horror wrestling related guys doing the forewords for that. And it goes from supernatural to monsters to slashers. It's everything you want in a horror book, basically in a few pages.
I'll let you pick the last one. I mean, we're going to try to keep this a little bit short, and you know, definitely let's you pick one and we'll talk about it.
Let's see. Probably Humalian.
Okay.
I have to go with that one.
All right.
So Humalian is another love letter to like the old 80s cartoons. It has that feel and that vibe. So it's basically follows the last human ever. His name is Ed, and he has superpowers. Not like a superhero. He just has these powers that were embedded into him from a mastermind, and everyone's hunting him down.
Okay.
He has other friends who are trying to help him and whatnot, and it's a 4-issue series right now. So the first arc is 4 issues where he basically comes face to face with the 4 heads of the Masters.
Okay. Last question. Top 3 wrestlers that you're a fan of.
Eddie Guerrero.
Nice.
Ric Flair.
Obviously.
RVD.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so, that's a good one. Yeah, all right, nice. So. All right, tell folks where they can find you, social media, website, maybe some upcoming appearances.
So we're coming back to Ohio in July for Gem City in Dayton, Ohio. And you can follow us on social media. I think our Instagram is Guerrilla Publishing Group. And Guerrilla is GUERRILLA. Twitter is Guerrilla_pub. Or you can just go to GuerrillaPublishingGroup.com.
There you go. Julio, thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here at Space talking to Caleb Toussaint. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
How's the show been treating you?
Pretty good. You know, it's ups and downs like most shows, so
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah. I gotcha. Is this your first time in space?
No, I've done it about 3 or 4 times before.
Okay.
So, yeah, gotcha. I kind of knew what to expect, so it's like, honestly, this show is a little more, for me, about networking with other people and meeting people in the area, so.
You know what that is? That is the cool part about comic book conventions, is being able to connect with people, and I hate to use the term market yourself, but market yourself to an extent and whatnot. So, well, let's talk a little bit about some of your projects. Let's talk, first of all, Neverland.
Can you give a little brief description of Neverland to the listeners? Yeah.
That's my newest series I'm really working on. It's about a kid growing up during the pandemic, and he escapes to Neverland one night and finds that the magic is all lost from the island. And it's kind of a story about him figuring out what happened between the original Peter Pan novel and now. So, and, you know, trying to fix the lost magic.
Okay, so there is a tie-in to the mythology of Peter Pan there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Cool. I didn't want to do... We've all seen and heard the Peter Pan story so many times, but just watching my son grow up during the pandemic, I saw the potential for a new story that was relevant to now, so okay. I wanted to write that.
Cool, gotcha. And much like many people, kept you busy during the pandemic too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I wrote 5 issues, and we're currently working on the 4th one right now. So, yeah, so hopefully it'll be 100% complete by this time this next year. So,
okay, cool. Let's talk about Nook. All right, let's talk about that book, because it looks, I got to be honest with you, it looks fascinating just for me. Nice. Because I am a little bit of a history nerd. So go ahead and fill us in on it.
So that's the book, man. That's the one that everyone wants on my table. It's about a girl and her parents. They escape Germany right before World War II starts, and they move into this house on the border of France that's haunted by this little ghost cat, and the cat kind of befriends the daughter and then starts to reveal this dark history of the house to her.
Okay. And you said that's pretty well received, correct?
Yeah, I never expected it to be the hot seller on my table, but I think just the combination of it being a ghost story and World War II and just a different perspective on things really it knocked it out of the park. So it got published last summer by Source Point Press, and yeah, it's been doing well.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a new project that you have here. Let's talk about Strange Stories.
Yeah.
I got a hint that it was kind of a throwback to those old kind of like pulp magazines, the weird tales and Tales to Astonish and stuff like that. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. It's funny because it's really just a collection of crazy short stories that I created like over the time of me doing comics. But when I put it all together, I was like, this could be cool to make it like retro, like weird tales, strange tales stuff. So when I put the covers together and stuff, I wanted it to all have that nostalgia to it. So that's what I kind of did. And I expected not much from it. I put a low goal to just kind of fund a small print run.
Okay, it's because it was funded through Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it like did well enough that I'm already planning on doing the next one.
Okay.
So
excellent. That's a good thing to do, man. It's a great thing to have happen to you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a little bit about yourself. How did you get wrapped up into comics? How did you start in this wacky business, if you will?
Do you want to know how I got interested in comics in general, or just like the whole making of comics mess?
How about both? How about both?
So I was kind of a late bloomer with comics.
Okay.
I read a little when I was a kid. I got into like Ninja Turtles and stuff when back in the very early, you know, old school Ninja Turtles original stuff. And I read a little bit then, but then I really didn't get back into comics until I was in my 20s. And then I read stuff like Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman, and I was like, there's something cool about comics that I didn't realize.
Okay.
So that got me.
So that was the springboard into creating, or no?
Well, I was actually working in film in Chicago for about almost a decade, the better part of a decade, producing like shorts and short independent features and short films and stuff, and then I had all these cool ideas, and I was like, there's no way I can ever make these into movies because they're just too big for independent stuff. So I went back to that world of comics, and I said, well, maybe this will work here because I can get an artist and I can work with just like a small group of people and put something together. And that's where I kind of just dove in and tried to figure it out.
All right. So any upcoming cons that you want to talk about? Any special appearances at comic book stores? How about website, social media stuff?
Yeah, so I just am currently upgrading my website, so it's villagecomicbooks.com, but it's a little bit of a mess right now.
Okay.
So it's getting there.
It happens to us all, you know.
I had to change web providers and all that boring stuff, goodness. So it becomes a whole mess. And then, but I guess my big thing that's on the slate is I'm doing Baltimore Comic Con this year, which I haven't done since it's been years. Okay. It's pre-COVID, so.
Okay.
I don't usually do big shows just because it's the cost of everything, but I'll be doing that one for my big one this year. And yeah, I do a couple small Ohio shows here and there, but yeah, like it'll be exciting to go and get to rub elbows with like the big name people for the weekend. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Cool. Social medias.
Oh, yeah, I'm on everything. You can just look up Village Comics, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you look me up, you can find me pretty easy. So. Okay.
Caleb, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your time, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, Brian, here we are. We made it through 2 days at Space, and it's a little bit before the convention closes, but what were your thoughts on day two? And heck, the whole entire weekend.
Yeah, it was much busier day two, so that was cool. And it was nice because I got to meet fans that I got from doing the show.
Yeah, because we had another incident where somebody came to get issues 3 and 4, and you haven't seen him in so many years.
Yeah, he had like an art. He saw me at another show, but he didn't remember what he got offhand. So then he brought his archived handwritten book of all his books he's bought, and he's looking on it and he goes, yeah, I got this and this, I need to get these 3 books. It's cool. That's always nice to have people who are dedicated. And he was telling me how he can't wait to figure out and find out what happens in Staunch Ambition. So
you know what, and then you also had a gentleman who stopped by to get your input on various different aspects of comic book creating. He talked to me about podcasting. We got to share our expertise a little bit, and I don't know, I think I can speak for you. That's got to be humbling.
Yeah, I mean, and I never felt for years like I really had much to offer, but now I definitely know I do because I've been doing this for about 12 years, and there are some things that I wish I had known back then. And even if I didn't follow it exactly, it's good to have that knowledge of what makes sense and how certain things might work for better than others. So, but yeah, it's always nice to talk to people who are on the other side of the table trying to do their own book. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. Are you okay? What are you doing?
I knocked over your thing. So
you knocked over the cooler.
Yeah.
Which has drinks in it, not alcoholic drinks. Okay.
Well, that was last night, dude.
That was last night. But
I'm done. That was fun.
That's for another podcast.
That was worth the trip. Hanging with you and Jeremy and
there you go, Dara.
We had quite a night last night. We don't want to get into all the things that happened.
All the shenanigans, but it was an interesting evening.
It was fun.
Yeah. So all right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, Brian, thanks for hanging out here and whatnot. And I'm gonna throw it to a quick break on the other side of the break. I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with some of the very talented people at Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. Please support some of these people. If you like what you heard about their various projects, check them out. You heard all of them give ways in which you can contact them via email or social media or websites because they are independent. They need the support of their fandom. And the only way to grow that fandom is to interact. So again, if you like what you heard, check out that individual's work. And you know what? Maybe you did not hear an email or maybe you want some more information. I will be happy to give you that information about these individuals. But in order to do that, you need to know how to get in touch with me. So let me just drop some knowledge on you that you can email me if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. And you can even find me on Twitter with my personal Twitter handle being @PVDMVP. Speaking of growing your audience, maybe you want to help me grow the audience for the PVDcast. So you want to let some folks know where they can find this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First, you can head on over to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly,
where you can find each and every new episode of this podcast. And of course, it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, like iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcasting app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're using one of those apps, please rate and review. Give me 5 stars or whatever you think I deserve. Leave a comment as well. The comment doesn't have to be anything lengthy. You can just put down great episode or whatever, because rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And you know what? Obviously, if you use one of those outlets, subscribe as well so you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there's also a couple of other ways to hear this podcast. First, you can go every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to the Facebook page, and you can listen to a weekly broadcast that I like to do. And it's a very simple, easy way to hear the week's episode. And last but not least, CROC Radio, the great internet radio station out of British Columbia, also airs the PVD cast every single week as well. So there you go, 4 different ways to suit your listening habits to hear me and my great podcast. All right, with that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.